The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
And with me now is the Mayor of the City of Greater Geelong, Councillor Stephanie Asher. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitch. How are you?
Good. Thanks for being with us. First of all, this community barbecue coming up in Little Mallop / the Mall tonight. Why? Why are we doing it?
Well, this is part of the program that we have council meetings within the community every month. So we have one in the council chambers every month and the other fortnight we have out in the community to represent each ward and want to have the whole meeting in the Little Mallop Mall, but we figured it was actually logistically fairly challenging and the weather has proved that was a fairly good call.
Yep.
So the compromise was to have a barbecue, a community-friendly, community-open barbecue beforehand from 5.30 until the meeting starts at 7 and we'll all walk over to City Hall from the mall.
So anyone can just show up for that?
That's right.
And you've got some live music scheduled for the mall on the coming few days?
Well, we have Jack Meredith tonight as part of the entertainment in the mall. And that, people may have noticed if they've been visiting that there's a lot of activity going on and we have music most evenings and lots of different events going on in the mall, which I think has been very well received. It's a busy, busy place. So, we do have some music there pretty much every night.
Wow.
Welcome. Come on down.
How is the mall actually going since there was a bit of a reactivation done? Is there a noticeable difference?
Absolutely, yeah. We're getting some really positive feedback. And I had a couple of the local police members come into my office the other day for a chat just about general things. And they said, look, the mall is not actually an issue, despite what people's perception may be, and certainly the coverage sometimes is. No, it's actually pretty good. There's not any more level of crime there than there is anywhere else. And I think increasingly the more people that are there, it does give people a reason to go.
Now, there's an article in today's paper, and it says Geelong councillors will meet with the Department of Transport this month to discuss the future of the city's troubled bus stops. That's connected all to the mall as well, isn't it?
That's right, and it has been a very confusing discussion, and trying to sort of pick through and unpack exactly what the issues are has been interesting, to say the least, because there does seem to be a few perception issues around the mall that then end up getting tied into the fact that that's where the bus exchange is. And I think they're not necessarily accurate. I think there's probably a few things that we can address on a local and immediate level that will then resolve some of those perception issues. Because I certainly, you know, you see quite a lot of people using the bus exchange. Therefore, that would be very good for traders, you would think. You know,
yeah.
You have actually have a lot of passing traffic. So I think, you know, some areas may seem a little dark and a little pokey. So we maybe look at some different pavement treatments or lighting, things like that. And actually activating them all brings more people in.
But they've been trying to get the bus stops right for 20 years. How do you get it right this time around?
Look, I think, as I said, just a series of separate activations will actually... It gets lumped into one big problem instead of picking apart and addressing the various issues. And I think the mall hasn't necessarily been an attractive place to be, and we're working pretty hard to make it a more attractive place. We are planning to have some conversations with the landlords as well around there, and just a few of small practical solutions would drive a fair bit of change.
Just in terms of other transport topics, airport rail via Sunshine, there's been some talk about whether maybe a new direct line will be built and will bypass Sunshine altogether, and you've come out and said that wouldn't be a good outcome for Geelong?
Well, no, the fast rail solution that we prefer involves a tunnel, and the conversation at the moment is about not having a tunnel, so we still remain advocates for the best solution for Geelong, and the fast rail is a decade away, most likely. The conversation in the last couple of days has really been around what happens in the interim, and that's prompted largely by the Mayor of Wyndham, whose communities are considerably affected at the moment with overcrowded trains and not the right solutions. And I mean, it doesn't necessarily affect Geelong as much, and certainly the Bellarine not as much, because we get on the empty trains. But by the time you're in the northern suburbs and Lara, I know the Windermere councillors are very concerned as well. So whatever we can do to support a push for sort of immediate solutions as well as long-term planning, we will do it.
Geelong people still have to stand up, though, because if you get on coming back from Melbourne, any station other than Southern Cross, if you get on at Footscray or whatever, you're pretty much standing all the way to Wyndham Vale and Tarneit, and then you can actually sit down. So Geelong people are probably also screaming out for a bit of a solution,
yeah.
And I don't know how much of a role council plays in that and whether it's state and federal, but We've surely got to get on and get the system working.
Well, absolutely. And we're a big voice in that sense, as is the City of Wyndham. We're the two fastest growing areas. So we've got a population issue that we need to manage. And certainly with the Northern and Western coming up, the planning for that is something we're also really interested in.
And trackless trams, can you tell us about that? That's another transport story, and it was in the paper. Why is it better to have trackless trams than just, say, buses?
Well, trackless trams is something that we're watching with interest. We're not necessarily jumping behind and advocating. I think the Committee for Geelong is pushing this one reasonably hard, and also Deakin. I think they're investigating some investment into that concept. And look, we're interested in looking at any innovative solutions and what will work better in the future for mass transit. You know, we really need to work out how to get people around. Personally, the focus from the Bellarine perspective is working out how we can get trails and paths into Geelong, because at the moment I saw Rory Costello promoting electric bikes this morning, and that's fantastic, but we can't actually get from Port Arlington or from Ocean Grove to the Bellarine Rail Trail to ride a bike in. We're on main roads, Barwon Heads, same thing. So we need to actually ensure that we've got those trail linkages, which is something that's coming to us in the next couple of weeks with the master plans, the draft. I've seen it yesterday, so it's actually starting to take shape, which is really exciting.
Now, the junket to South America, at least that was what the characterisation was by the Geelong Advertiser on the front cover yesterday. Is it worth it to spend $12,000, and would there be a return to ratepayers?
Look, absolutely. I've always supported it, and I can't actually discuss it too much in detail because it goes...
Well, did you read their editorial yesterday that said that you wouldn't support it, or that you would have been critical of this in the past?
No.
There was an editorial that said Councillor Stephanie Ash has always stood up for transparency and would always be questioning this. And
oh, absolutely question. Yeah, absolutely stand up for transparency. I read it that I would be very happy to provide with the breakdown. And that was the first question I asked, actually, when the quote for $12,000 came through. I said, oh, can I please have a breakdown of exactly what that entails? So I had a conversation yesterday where I said, if I'm able to, I'm very happy to provide receipts if there is... if it does get approved by council, because this is something that's going up tonight. But yeah, look, I've always supported it. I supported former mayors going. I think the city does need to travel. I think we need to understand what's out there. It's a fantastic opportunity to promote and showcase our city on the world stage. And I know that we're actually pitching for a sub-network meeting. I did say it was a pitching for a future AGM, but it's actually a sub-network meeting of the city's model, and it would be a great, fantastic opportunity for us to put that clever, creative City of Design foot forward. So yes, and absolutely, I'm more than happy to show exactly what the expenditure is.
What's the benefit to ratepayers of us being a City of Design?
It gives us an identity, and look, Brand Geelong is something that's been ticking along for a number of years, and I've taken a bit of an interest in that as well, because we do actually chair the Vision Partners Group, which involves community members and also industry and commercial businesses in Geelong. And I think Geelong does need to have a fairly clear idea. You can never make it crystal clear, I guess, because you have to represent so many different people, and Geelong struggles from being attractive in an awful lot of ways, so it's really hard to nail the one thing that we want to be known for in our brand. But there's a lot of work going on and continuing to go on, and I would love to bring that to the point of conclusion, that we can present what is Geelong, what do we represent. I'm sure it is embedded in clever, creative City of Design somehow, but how we actually present that to the world in a clear, short, sharp fashion, that's the opportunity. And I think something like the AGM in Brazil would be a really good deadline for us to get that together.
And when Councillor Harwood went over to Italy, was that unanimous by all the councillors supporting that, or were there some voices of dissent saying he shouldn't go?
I think there's a couple that usually do dissent. I know there's a couple of councillors who don't agree that we should travel. So, look, everybody's entitled to their view. The discussion tonight will be interesting. I've always supported the idea. I supported Councillor Harwood going. But I do absolutely believe we need to be completely transparent about what the expenditure is. I quickly Googled flights. I had a look at the cities, did all that sort of thing, and I think we do need to bring back a tangible result as well.
You were listening to Libby Coker there before. Should she be worried that you're going to challenge her for the seat of Corangamite?
At this stage, no. I'm very busy being Geelong Mayor. No, look, it's not something that's on my mind. It's on the topic of conversation, I guess, but it always has been, hasn't it? So.
Talk about wild women in local democracy. I'm just interested from your point of view, because when you used to come on the program every week, you used to speak a lot about gender issues and representation. So what do we need to do as a city to get more women in council? Because because we had the wild programs last time, and I think fewer women actually got elected than previously.
Yeah, look, there are so many things to break down, and I think unconscious bias is probably the biggest one, because that is actually universal. It's not, you know, men only who have bias, it's women, and women are just as likely to be sexist as men, and men are just as likely to be feminist as women. So I think we need to really understand what biases exist and how that prevents people, and I think there's some practical things from a counsellor's perspective too that we need to make it easier for women. I'm trying to do that with changing the briefing times, making sure that we don't run too late, all those sorts of things, because they really do impact. For example, Councillor Mansfield at the moment's got young children, so, you know, she's less flexible than a lot of us. So, you know, there are really practical areas that we need to address, and the attitudes, the unconscious attitudes, is probably the biggest one, and that's about how we talk to each other and how we relate, and I think, you know, we've got a lot of work to do there.
Have you experienced discrimination or unconscious bias as a female councillor since being elected?
Oh, we experience unconscious bias every day, I think, but it's something that you do get used to. It's not necessarily an insurmountable barrier, but I think we do need to, and I've learned to present in a way that I can get my message across, but I do see, we had a class of students yesterday come in, year 7 students, and one girl asked a question, and there were 3 boys that asked probably 20 questions between them. Now, I know that the girls are not less bright, I know that the girls have not fewer questions, but it's really interesting to watch how they do get intimidated when the boys are so good at asking the questions. They put themselves forward, they put their hands up, they push themselves, and it just, you can just see it in action. So those sorts of things, you know, we need to encourage girls to do the same.
The Rainbow Crossing, how much did it actually cost? Do we have a figure on what it cost to put that in?
No, I don't know. It was what was put in was the temporary one for the Rainbow Festival, yep. So I don't know the costs of it. Sorry, can't answer that question.
But worth doing, you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think the more we can do to draw attention to that crossing and the fact that it is a crossing and not have traffic go over and impede pedestrians, particularly people with mobility issues, the better. And it's a lovely gesture too of inclusion from the council.
But for the LGBTI community, you think it's important that we have a crossing to showcase our diversity as a city?
Absolutely, yeah.
And the Pride Festival, I think you didn't, but Anthony Aitken was there. But
yes,
it's a good event for Geelong to have something like that, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I didn't go because I was actually driving my children around all day Saturday and then at a coastal carnival on Sunday, so I was an inability to attend. But yes, Councillor Aitken carried the torch for us very well, and I think it was a really, really big success.
Well, thank you very much for being with us this morning down in Anglesey, and good luck with this meeting tonight. It sounds like it could be an interesting one.
Thank you. I hope to see lots of people at the barbecue, so come on down to
yes,
the Little Mallop Street Mall.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mayor.
Mayor of Geelong, Councillor Stephanie Asher. Coming up after the break, we'll speak to the newest member of council on Serfkirkshire, Councillor Tony Revell, who won the by-election that was held last year. We're broadcasting live from Anglesey on 94.7 The Pulse.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.